I'm Dominique.
And I'm Sylvia.
Welcome to the High Vibes and the Mind podcast,
where multicultural moms connect.
Hi everyone, this is Veronique speaking. Welcome back to the show. Today we have a guest, but before I introduce her, I wanted to make a special shout out for our listeners from California and our listeners from Virginia. Thank you very much to follow us and listening to our different stories and episodes. We'd appreciate it. And also a special shout out to our listeners in Australia. So today we're speaking with Alex. She's a certified narcissistic trauma healing coach. So she helps her clients to heal from narcissistic parents and relationships so that they can finally move on. This way they can reclaim their lives, develop unshakable, you know, self-love, and establish healthy, conscious relationships that light their soul on fire. That's her own words. So without further ado, let's talk to Alex.
Hi, Alex. So why do you think so many women keep going to bad relationships, abusive relationships? Because I have a friend who's been in several back-to-back.
Yeah. Girl, I feel for her because me too at one point in my life as well. There's honestly, there's science that explains this, and it's kind of a sick twist of nature when we study it. But people who have experienced any form of abuse previously in their life, whether of their childhood or a previous relationship, they automatically become more susceptible to falling into cycles of choosing and attracting abusive partners moving forward. And a lot of times when I share that, a lot of people are like, but wait, like my childhood wasn't that bad. And the reality is that there's a lack of education on what abuse actually is. That word can be so scary when we think of just the term abuse. Our minds go to large acute scale events. So trigger warning for anyone listening, things like muggings, shootings, rape, right? Those are all what would be categorized as acute trauma, right? Large scale, singular type events. But there's little t trauma, and that kind of abuse are tactics like a parent not being able to regulate their emotions, so they emotionally lash out on you, right? A parent telling you things as subtly as like, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about, right? Or suck it up, be a man, right? Those little types of, they fall under the category of verbal abuse, but because they've been so normalized, they don't necessarily occur in our brains as something that we would consider abuse until we're educated on what that is. So that's the unfortunate truth of like why people fall into these patterns. They don't know what they don't know. Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. And my friend in this case, she was abused by her dad at home. And she told me stories about, but physical, not even like the physical of like slapping that type, but it was, like sexual, like very, it was really tough for her. Yeah. And then after that, it was just one after one. And she's still with the same person. She just can't get out. She always finds excuses not to move on and to try to. And when there is a child involved and everything, it's just like, ah, I'm not going to get divorced. So,
yeah.
So tough. So it how can tough. You, so if you have like a, like in her case, she has this person who's very controlling. And I know like I've been in relationships like that too. Mm-hmm. So how do you do, actually, in a way, like how can we be in relationships where we don't expect another person to change or try to like, okay, he behaves this way or she behaves that way, and I want them to change. Like he's controlling, he's dominating the relationship. How can they change? How do we get rid of that thought, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we need, it's a hard one to get rid of because especially with like societal conditioning, even with things like rom-coms, we hold out hope. Like we fall in love with the idea of what a relationship should be and what's modeled to us, right? And that can be not only watching what your parents modeled towards you in childhood, but also things like the television you consume, the movies you consume can also really screw with the way you perceive relationships. And so as far as like getting away from the idea, like what you're describing is like falling in love with potential. It's like, well, if they would just change this and that, we'd be great, right? Mm-hmm. The way you get away from that is really just, it's not a sexy answer, but it's just accepting the reality of who's actually in front of you right now. You know, would you marry the person that is in front of you right now? Yes or no, right? And that is a very hard reality pill for a lot of people to swallow because, again, we romanticize this idea of relationships where it's going to be like, they never hurt my feelings. They never upset me. Everything's, we're riding off into the sunset, right? These kinds of idealistic states. And unfortunately, if there's one thing we all know about humans is that none of us are perfect. So that's just not going to exist. So really, when I talk to my clients who are getting out of unhealthy relationships, healing, and looking to date again, we need to be very honest with what we're willing to tolerate within our relationships, because again, no one's perfect. So that doesn't mean we tolerate abuse, hear me very clearly, at all, right? But that might mean that we tolerate, you know, my husband doesn't put the toilet seat down ever, and he loves to put his boxers next to the hamper instead of in the hamper, right? Like, those kinds of shortcomings you can live with. You can learn to tolerate those as long as the safety, emotional and physical safety of the relationship is intact, right? So that's where I kind of start to retrain my clients, is the way that they perceive relationships. We're never tolerating disrespect. We're never tolerating verbal, emotional, mental, physical abuse, right? But we can tolerate someone who, you know, isn't as clean as you are, or might not have the same sense of humor as you. Those types of surface level things.
Yeah, because there are different personalities, right? You can't expect everyone to behave exactly the way we want them. Like,
nor would be satisfying, right? Like it wouldn't be fun to be in love and in a relationship with someone who's exactly like you. It's like, God, this is boring. Give me something new to work with. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think I would be never able to get over the pajama, you know, next to the...
Oh, yeah. This, I give up on
the
that.
Basket, you know, the dirty basket, because that's never going to happen. So, yeah. And I'm talking about the husband, not the kids. So a question a bit lighter. when you go on a date, so how can you tell, because I saw that on your website, how can you tell within minutes that the person across the table is not a good match for you?
You have to watch how, and let's dial back this question a little, because there's a difference between good match for me or is unhealthy versus healthy. So let's talk about unhealthy first, right? So it's like, you have to watch how they treat others and how they talk about others. And this can be so sneaky. It's like, if the waiter gets their order wrong, right? Or if they don't like their cocktail or whatever they ordered, how do they talk about the service industry people, right? How do they talk about the janitors, the waiters, the bartenders? How do they talk about their last relationships? Is every other person they've been with crazy or emotionally unstable, or, you know, however they would describe them in an unhealthy way? Because a healthy human is going to be like, it wasn't the right person for me. You know, like, I learned some lessons. There's going to be some sort of self-reflecting in a healthy human. But in an unhealthy human, what we know, especially with narcissists, they cannot take responsibility and they cannot self-reflect. So you are going to see them talk about others in a very contemptuous way. I am better than everybody else. Everyone else is the problem, right? So we need to listen for those little cues and watch how they respond to you, your boundaries, and your vulnerability, right? If you're saying, you know, I don't stay out past this time, so, you know, I'm turning into a pumpkin, it's 11 o'clock, time for me to go home. Do they start making fun of you, right? Because at first, a narcissist knows they can't just be outright disrespectful. So they're going to try and like work it like, but I'm having such a good time. Aren't you having a good time with me? Don't you want to stay out with me? Because what they're trying to do is see how far they can push you, right? A healthy human's going to be like, I totally respect that you want to get to bed after 11. Like, understandable. You have work tomorrow, or you have whatever to do tomorrow, or that's just your routine, right? They're going to have a respect for you. So those are some of the subtle things that we really need to pay attention to. And then as far as like, is a match for you or not, what I always like to tell my clients is look for a connection, not chemistry. When we pull, again, when we look at the science of like, this idea of the spark or chemistry, it's actually our nervous system alarm bells going off that it's not a healthy relationship. They're igniting within you certain wounds from your past that you are interpreting as, ooh, this is exciting, right? And we all know that like anxiety and fear is the same sensation in the body as excitement, right? It's like the equivalent of being in line for a roller coaster, right? Versus running for your life. Similar sensation, right? And so when we are in the guise or the category of like falling in love, we will choose to interpret those signals as spark or chemistry. But when we really look at it, it's a warning sign, right? So I like to tell my clients, don't follow the spark, don't follow chemistry. Follow curiosity and connection, right? Are you curious to get to know this person more, right? Did they have something interesting to say? Did you feel connected to them? Were they asking you questions about yourself? Were they asking you good questions? Or is it boring stuff like, what's your favorite color? When's your birthday, right? So I hope that answers that question. Those are some of the first few signs I would say to look for.
But it's so hard because when you have a hot guy in front of you, you're going to have that spark. And you're going to forget about the good question and you're going to forget about the connection.
Yeah.
So that's hard to
do. You have to practice. You have to practice. Absolutely.
It comes also with maturity, of course. Yeah. Because
I mean, I think there's a difference between acknowledging like, ooh, I have a tingle between my legs because this person's really good looking. Right? Yes. Like we can acknowledge that and then like take a breath on the date, feel your feet on the floor and be like, okay, besides wanting to jump their bones right now, you know, let me lean in and actually ask some deeper questions here. Yeah.
Exactly.
Totally.
So I was going to ask, but I think you already answered that question, but I was going to ask you, so maybe what's the biggest red flag, you know, to tell that someone's a narcissist? Because that's a specialty, we have to say that for listeners. So what's your biggest, you know, red flag?
Yeah, I would say a lot of what I named before. Are they talking about people contemptuously? Are they disrespectful about the other people they've been with, right? Are they able to answer, like, one of my favorite questions to ask on a date is, like, what's your biggest lesson in love you've learned so far in your life? And if they're, like, if they say something that's surface level, that's, like, you know, well, all women are crazy, red flag. That's, like, so not okay, right? But if they can answer, like, I've learned that I'm overly eager to give and I need to find a balance better within myself. That's a human who's willing to take responsibility for their part, right? Another one that I haven't shared yet that I think is a really good indicator, especially of someone who's trending narcissistic, is how they talk about their friends and if they have any long-term friendships. Because narcissists are incapable of any kind of long-term relationship, not just romantic, but friendship. And the reason for that is because they are not capable of being empathetic towards other people or vulnerable with other people. They see vulnerability as weakness. And so I'm not talking about quantity of friends. I'm talking about quality and longevity here, right? Do they have someone that they can say, you know, my buddy so-and-so is going through a rough time. And so because he's doing that, we're doing a guy's trip, or this is the person I call when I want to play devil's advocate with something that's coming up for me in my life. Like, do they talk about anyone that is a friend, that's a support system that they've known for an extended period of time? Because if they do not have any deep friendships and they only mention people that are very surface level, well, I just made friends with this guy I work out with at the gym. And like, sometimes we'll go for coffee. That's something to be aware of, because if they can't have deep friendships, there's no way they can have long-term deep relationships. So that's another one to look for.
Yeah.
Do you think it relates also to how you relate to your family? Like, would that be a red flag if you also have bad relationships with your parents or your siblings? Same way your friends or...
Yes and no. Like me personally, I had a narcissistic parent, so I do not talk to my mom at all. I haven't talked to her in 4 years. And unfortunately, my father, who was the victim of my mom's abuse, he got remarried, and I'm not sure what happened, but 5 years ago, stopped responding to any of my phone calls and texts, even though I'll still reach out and say, hey, dad, miss you, love you, right? So if we go down that road, someone would look at me and be like, you're a walking red flag, Alex, right? But then my longest friendship is 21 years, and I have other really deep friendships that span the distance between 10 to 5 years now, right? So on the friend category, I'm checking out. On the family category, not necessarily. I do have some adopted family that I call my pseudo parents, and they call me pseudo daughter. And they've been in my life now for, oh my gosh, 8 years, which is wonderful. And they hang out with me on my birthdays and all that good stuff. They meet my partners. They want to know what's going on in my life. And so I think it's more how a person talks about their family than what that relationship looks like. So for example, whenever I have to deliver the news to someone I'm getting to know while dating, and I have to say, I'm estranged from my mom and dad, you know, and it's not something I'm stoked about, right? I don't sit there and say, like, even though I can factually look at my mom and say she's narcissistic, I don't sit on a high horse and say, talk badly about her. I love her from a distance, right? I'm just saying it was better for me. I'm talking about the value it brings for me. I have less anxiety. I'm happier. I'm at more peace with who I am and in my life. And that was a really hard decision I needed to come to, right? That's how I would describe it. Someone who's narcissistic, who's cut family out, they're going to say, like, they're all crazy. They all don't know what they're talking about. And all they ever want to do is fight. They're going to blame, right? Instead of take responsibility for why they made that decision. So again, it's less about the relationships and how they talk about those relationships.
Is one a flag would be also that they always want things to be to go their way?
Oh my gosh, their way, yes.
Or no other way.
Yes. Right? One of the things I like to say with my clients is narcissistic people are they're children in adult onesies, right? So they might look like an adult, but internally they have a tantrum like a four-year-old would have a tantrum. And so when you see an adult having a large emotional reaction regularly, and they're throwing a hissy fit over things that are just like minuscule and not, because I want to, like, triggers can be that way within humans, right? So we want to be very careful between labeling a trigger as a tantrum, right? But with narcissists, it's constantly, it's very much that you're telling me I can't have a cookie before dinner? How dare you? And they're just like freaking out that kind of level over something that really doesn't deserve it, right? Yeah, for sure.
Try to see here how many people I know that are narcissistic.
Checking the boxes.
Yeah. Like, check. Okay.
Yeah.
So changing a little bit of a subject here, but since you're talking about relationships and, you know, like people being possessive, not possessive, so when you break up and, you know, if you should try to get together or not, there's a whole twin flames hysteria that we like, I don't know if you've heard about it, but we have. And we're like, oh, I'm not sure this is the right thing to do, you know, like, no, to be chasing after your ex. What do you think?
No, that's terrifying. I watched that documentary and I was sick to my stomach because they posture as someone who sort of does what I do, right? And that makes me just like want to throw up. That group not only takes it as far, like some of the cases, they tell their people to chase their exes so much so that people are getting restraining orders against them. They're being taken to court. They even are telling people to change their gender, which is wild. It's really not okay. And I hope that those two get the justice they deserve because they have ruined a lot of people's lives. And it's sad. It's heartbreaking to watch. Yeah. Not okay.
Right? And it's not just them. It's if you find it all over TikTok and, you know, social media, these twin flames experts. And you can see on the comments, they are desperate. The women are like, yeah, well, it's not really working. He hasn't really answered my calls. So I'm like, what are you doing? You're just making people not accept the end of a relationship and become stalkers. And since when it's okay? It's completely crazy. So yeah, I'm sure you're probably going to have some clients who had to, if they follow that, they need a good deprogramming from all that.
Wild.
Yeah. So because we're talking, about X and everything, I saw that you talk in one of your clip on Instagram about X back coaches. What is this? Yeah. I never heard of that. Is it one of those twin flames also that are trying to get you back with your ex?
It's similar. Yeah. There's... Yeah. So the thing is there's these get your ex back coaches where it's like, we'll tell you how to text them to like make them want you back and return into your life, you know? And really it drives me nuts because they're preying on people's emotions. When someone is going through a breakup And it's even more severe if you're going through a breakup with a narcissist. There are literal brain phenomena and emotional addictions taking place that causes someone to want to desire their ex. And so it's very predatory because they're preying on the vulnerability and the sensitivity that someone is going through in that time to capitalize on like money, right? They're just trying to get money in the door. And so it's really disgusting because it's just like, if people don't want to be with you, we need to respect that decision, even if it's not what you want to hear and it's not how you want to feel, right? Because there is someone out there that does want to be with you, right? That will choose you. And so when that person is in this very emotional state and they're scrolling Instagram and they stumble upon the, do you want your ex back? We'll show you what to text and how to email them to get them back. It's literally just like preying on this person's emotions. And it makes me sick to my stomach as well. Yeah, it's not okay.
You know who that reminds me of? I think CJS will know what I'm talking about those back on my island, those people, little witches that say, you know, I can get you the heart that you lost is going to come back. Mm. Just bring me a photo. Some hair. This is something to be going on me. Yeah, on the internet. Oh, where I'm from, they do that all the time, you know.
Bring in Brazil as well, hair. Yeah.
In Brazil, I guess.
Oh,
let's take a bath.
Yeah.
Take a bath. I mean, you do like all kinds of, it's kind of like the voodoo work for get back your relationship, get back your loved one.
Yeah.
It's, you see it on the like signs everywhere you're walking, you know, downtown, you see the signs like, call me, I'll help you get back your ex, your loved one, your ex.
Yeah.
So and you know, you're vulnerable. You just do it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're so desperate for connection that you're like, oh, call it up. How much do I need to pay? And it's like, it never works out. It never suits you. It makes it worse. And you go through the entire cycle of the breakup all over again. Eventually, it's just not good. Not good.
Yeah. It's just an old trick that they put online now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know that so they can reach more people.
Yeah.
So I think my last question is I think talk about it at the beginning, but maybe we can talk a bit more about it. Say how can you tell that someone is healthy and growing versus someone who's just playing the part, just pretending?
Good question. The proof is in their behaviors. Okay. So words, talk is cheap. Talk is so cheap, especially with narcissistic people. They know what to say. They study you, right? They know, especially for each one of their narcissistic supplies, they know exactly what to say to get you on the hook and to get you to come back because they know what the desires of your heart are at that point, right? So we want to ignore what someone has to say and we want to watch how someone behaves, okay? There is no apology without a changed behavior. Okay. So it's like when we get really like nitty gritty, if someone is doing the inner work, the way they talk about their emotions and the way they're being vulnerable is going to be spoken so differently than someone who's just saying like, yeah, I'm going to therapy. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to therapy. You should go to therapy. I have someone that's like a friend of a friend who uses that as like a threat. You should go to therapy. Stop talking that way. And this person's been in therapy for a very long time, but their behaviors aren't changing, right? They're still picking the same arguments. They're still going through the same really unhealthy dating cycles. There has been no change in their behavior, right? So we want to look for how do they talk about their own emotions when they are maybe like when we talk about emotions that a lot of times tend to be like carried with shame. So like anger, how do they talk about their experience with anger, right? Do they act like I'm never angry? Because that's just not humanly possible. We all experience anger, right? So I'm trying to learn how to express my anger in a healthy way. I'm trying to work on my own anger issues and know how to communicate through when I get upset about something. That's someone who's like conscious and they're willing to admit that. That's being vulnerable, right? Someone who leans into toxic positivity. This is so common now. Good vibes only, right? High vibes. Right? No bad energy. Yeah. It can be used even in an unintentional way, but as gaslighting, right? It's just, we want to look for someone who is very open and honest about their human experience and willing to talk about it, but also willing to demonstrate through their actions. Hey, I'm in a mood right now. I need time apart. Let me go deal with my anger alone. And then we can come back and have this conversation. Green flags, right? So just watch how someone behaves.
Yeah, that's great tips because, exactly. Yeah. Like you said, you know, words are cheap. So
cheap.
Yeah, so cheap. And this whole thing of like, there's no bad, there's only, there's no good or bad, or, you know, like just stop with that, you know, you're just like reinforcing. Yeah. So do you mean like someone who's like doing something really bad? So this is not, there's nothing bad about it. Like you're not supposed to see the badness and the negative side of it. You know, it's just creating like way more problems. It's not fixing what's going on. And yeah, I don't like that. Of all positivity, it becomes toxic too, because nobody lives like that. We live on planet Earth and we are here to experience good and bad things. It's all part of the growth. Otherwise, what's the point, right? Yeah. Of living. Yeah. So, yeah. So just to finish up, can you tell us a little bit about your program, the breakup program? What is that? Yeah. It's like a recovering from a bad breakup?
Yeah. Breakup SOS. It's for the person who's, leaving a narcissistic or toxic relationship that wants to commit to no contact and like embrace inner peace. And the way this works, because I know how hard it is, especially the first few months after saying goodbye to that person, you know, there's all these temptations that are going to want to come up. You're going to want to lurk their social media. You're not going to want to block their number because you want to kind of keep the door open to see if they come back or if they tell you they miss you and all this stuff, right? So the way that Breakup SOS works is you actually hear from me every day for 30 days consistently. And I give you different video trainings and exercises to do to be able to stay consistent with no contact. And also the tools that you need to soothe your nervous system, right? So when we think about like ruminating thoughts, anxiety, any fear, the shoulda, woulda, couldas, the replaying of the events that happened in the relationship, those are all signs that your nervous system is in a dysregulated state. So I teach you to understand that. And I also teach you the actual exercises you can do to have your nervous system soothed so that the anxiety and the ruminating thoughts and all of that go away and you find inner peace within yourself. And then the program, after the first few weeks of information that's really focused on healing and sticking to no contact, we take it a step further and we start to reconnect with the authentic self and gain confidence. So that way, by the end of the 30 days, not only have you committed to no contact, but you're feeling confident in who you are, you're feeling good about moving on and focusing on yourself, so that eventually, when you're ready, you can start dating consciously and actually attract a healthy partner for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I wish I had someone like that. Like yes. You, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 10 years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Went through so much crap for no reason. I mean, no reason. It had to happen, but in a way, could have been avoided, you know? It's because it becomes so silly, like following the person. I was like one of those stalkers, like driving by to see if he was at home. And then like checking my Yahoo Messenger at the time, like, is he online? Is he? Like, it was so ridiculous, the whole thing. But there was no one to help. So it's a great idea. I think it's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah,
someone to check on you every day. You check on people every day for 30 days?
Yeah. Yeah. You get email from me every day with different video trainings and exercises to do consistently. Yeah. Because I know like what Sylvia was just saying, like I was there too. You literally like toxic relationships bring out your crazy, because the reason you're tempted to drive by someone or check if they're online is because your nervous system is trying to find a way to soothe. And when your nervous system is doing, it believes that if I connect with them, if I just know what they're doing, if I just know who they're hanging out with, if I just know where they are, I'll feel better, which we all know is baloney, right? But we fall into that because it's what's familiar to us. And so the reason I did a consistent 30-day program like with constant check-ins is because I know what that person is going through. I was that person at one point, and I know that if I had someone in my email inbox being like, hey, how are you? You got this. Stay here with me. I'm with you. Like, it makes it easier, right? You're not alone in the process.
Oh, 100%.
The thing that was a little bit easier back in my day, because I'm a little bit older than you, Alex.
Yeah.
There was not all that social media. So if you wanted to get rid of somebody, just delete his number and that's it.
Yeah.
Don't have to follow him on Instagram. Don't have to follow him on Facebook. And bye-bye.
Oh, God.
That was
for real.
A little bit easier. But right now, for you guys, I mean, ladies, it must be a bit harder. A
lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah. Can we... guess now that you're in a very good relationship, I guess,
a healthy
and good relationship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
after all of that.
I know.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And so thank you. Yeah, it was so funny dating after being in that narcissistic relationship, because, and a lot of women will identify with this too, it's like you find the healthy, stable ones boring. You're like, why are you being nice to me? That's not cute, right? It's like, be mean to me and I'll like think you're sexy, right? It's this really effed up mentality. And the reason for that, again, goes back to nervous system reprogramming and rewiring your subconscious brain. And so I love to share my story, because for anyone out there that's been through what we're talking about, like the severe narcissistically abusive relationship, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is healthy relationships. There are healthy men out there that want a healthy woman. You know, it takes some healing work and some reprogramming to get there. But yeah, he's a dream. Like, he's the sweetest guy. He thinks he can, what I love most about my relationship is he considers me before I even consider some of the things that I need. So like, for example, I was going on a trip to Mexico for work in December, and he surprised me, and I have a dog, and he was the one dog sitting for me. And he's like, I'm surprising you. Don't worry. I have your dog taken care of. Like, don't stress about anything. Like, just goes above and beyond to like make things special for me, you know, and like all these little sweet treats. He spoils me way too much, but it feels good to have that kind of love, you know, after the opposite, which was like the slim pickings, you know, any kind of attention. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, we had an episode, we had a special bonus episode about bad relationship with Sylvia. We talked about it, I think it was last week. And when we met her husband, we were like, this is so weird. That's so nice. There's no drama.
Yeah. No drama.
It's very normal, very healthy, easy. It's very easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's how it's supposed to be, right? But we all use an ability to that drama. And if it doesn't, it's not there, you're like, this is not right.
Literally. Exactly. That was me and my first, I had a healthy relationship before this one. And that was my very first healthy relationship after my narcissistic ex. And I remember I had a conversation with him. I was like, is there any time where you're like, this is boring because we don't fight? Like, what is wrong? And he was like, yeah, it's a little weird sometimes, like how chill the relationship is. Now, after like years of having that practice, it's even with this partner, it's even easier than my last relationship. Not without its conflict, but the conflict is a conversation. It's not an argument, right? It's just like, hey, this is coming up for me. Can we talk about it real quick? This is what I need. This is how I'm feeling. How are you feeling? Okay, great. Let's do this next time. Sounds good. Like, it's just a conversation. Yeah.
Exactly. Conversation. Yeah.
That's what women need, you know, to learn that it's okay to have discussions, arguments, but you know, it's just like it's different when you know you're with the right person that treats you well, you know?
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have that aggressiveness or that passion. What is it called? Passive aggressiveness that is kind of like, you're trying to, like, you always never know if the person is trying to say something mean directly to you or to someone else. I think it's one of the worst things too that some people do. So read the red flags and know that you are better, know your worth in the end, right? You can do
know
better.
Your worth. Yeah. And you know, if a man loves you, he's not he doesn't want to hurt you. So that's really, it's really important. Yeah. Well, Alex, thank you very much. Do you want to add anything else? You know, we're going to put, of course, all your, you know, information on the podcast. Yeah. If people want to connect with you and see your program, I'm sure there's a lot of people that's going to need you, especially those ex-twin flame people.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Seriously.
They need help.
Just follow me on Instagram and TikTok. Say hi. Like, if you listen to this episode, please feel free to give me a message and just say, hey, I heard you on this podcast and I'd love to connect with you. I don't bite, so I'm happy to hear like where you found me, and just to say hi and wish you well on your healing journey and answer any questions you have. So shoot me a message.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, thank you. And don't forget to follow Alex on Instagram. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And thank you for the great conversation, Alex.
Of course. You guys have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. Bye, guys. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to High Vibes and a Mic. Until next time, laugh hard, stay silly, and never forget to bring your sense of humor. Please follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Pinterest.